I'm Brian Brecken. Most of you have seen me before or heard about my name and my background. I've been the identity guy within Microsoft for and marketing for a few years. Released FIM, ADFS, access control services, rest in peace, and a few other things out there. Any naming issues with FIM, licensing, sorry. I'm probably to blame around that. Most people call me that I have sort of an identity crisis, and that's because I am Icelandic, lived most of my life in Sweden, so I have an Icelandic passport. I lived in Sweden, and now I live in the US, which means I can't vote anywhere, which in this time is kind of good, so I don't have to either vote for either one, so that's fine. I'm here to talk about better together with Office 365. And Azure Active Directory and Azure AD Premium. It's a 45-minute session. A lot of the topics in this talk are covered in deep dives with deep dive demos and walkthroughs and everything across a few other sessions. But I'll try to cover as much as I can. But you'll know and you'll see that I can't cover everything in Azure AD that has some sort of benefit for Office 365. Right? Everything in Office 365 is built on Azure AD. So I can't go through everything. So I picked a few things that are really important. We'll start off with a level set on why we're doing Mobility Security Vision with an Office 365 view, kind of understanding why we're doing this for 365 together with 365. And then we'll go through Identity for Office 365. That's basically a 10 to 15 minute summary of what it means to do identity for 365. Not really Azure AD Premium, just core basic stuff that we have to know, right? There's a lot of things out there that's, oh, do I do this? Do I do password hash sync? Do I do federation? Do I do sync? What's my options? What do we do? I'm gonna tell you what other customers are doing. Just go through it, and that way we have something out there that tells the story, and then we can use that. And the bigger part of the session is really about going from Office and over to Azure AD, seeing what the value is with the additional features of Azure Active Directory, the premium, the basic SKUs, and other SKUs that are on top of what you get with Office 365. This is only 45 minutes. I know I'd love to take questions and all that, but I'm going to stay around as long as you want. When they kick us out of here, we need to, I'll be standing outside and take any questions you want. I got a flight at 1:30 on Friday. So whatever you want to do until then, I'm up yours. So all yours for that, OK? So from a vision perspective, it's a pretty standard way to look at things for us. So over the years, a lot of integrations have been done with networking as the control plane, as the control mechanism to control access to 365 and other services, right? So the way that we think about it in the past has been, how do I control access to on-prem or the cloud by having everybody go through on-prem in some way, right? I got my VPN, there's really sensitive network traffic that I don't want to bail them out and give them access directly to Office 365. I do it by, okay, you need a VPN, and only through that, because the ADFS and the on-prem stuff, we can control access in better ways than what we can do in Office 365. We take our mobile devices and we make them a member of the internal network through different kludgy VPN solutions or packs that you make them part of the network, right? So we're basically taking stuff from the internet where Office 365 lives, and putting it onto the on-prem world and using the pipe to get out again, right? And that really doesn't resonate well with a mobile strategy. What are we trying to do with mobility all up? And for me, mobility is not about the devices. It's about the lifestyle of people moving around, right? So it's not just a iOS or Android or Windows phone. It's whatever PC, Mac, whatever you're using to access 365, okay? So the vision security for mobility and security is really about enabling us as an IT staff to go in and say yes to the business and creating a policy that says, I can allow you to get access to SharePoint from a certain device You're a certain user from a certain location, but if you're on another location, I want you to do MFA. Right? So thinking about strategies where we can use more than just networking. We use the users, we use the devices, the state of the device, the health of the device, if it's a known device, unknown device, and so on. We use which app I'm going to. We make a policy out of that. We make a set of policies out of that so you can control access. The classic being, I can't allow you to use your iPad or iOS device to access email, right? Because you can't. We just don't allow it or something. Here I can do it with additional security, with the controls and mechanisms that are in there. All right? And this goes along with our strategy, what we do internally. And the identity team is really to build the solutions together with Office. Office is our biggest customer. For Azure Active Directory PM team, Office team is big. That's the big gorilla up there, right? We're really bigger because we got everybody in our directory, but it really is that way. In Office, in our identity PM team and the developer teams, Office is one of the customers that demand capabilities and feature sets from us. Others is the Intune team, the enterprise client management team. They need features from us and from Azure AD, capabilities that they need to deliver services. And you can line it up. There's Azure on the other side. It's also coming with demands because Azure is also used, where Azure AD is used for Azure as well. And then we have our own services that we need to deliver, our own identity and access management services that we need to deliver and make it possible to give access to Office and other apps, whether you're an employee, business partner, a customer, or a consumer of yours. Anyone should be able to get access to your services in one way or the other. And somewhere in there, identity is going to be the key thing that lives in every single app. The one thing that's common across everything is going to be the identity scenario in that world. So when we look at identity overall, we're taking what we've been doing for the last 15 years or so on-prem. On-prem, we have a directory service. It's cool, AD, right? Pretty strong product. Then we made up this thing called FIM or ILM or MIS or MMS. Whenever we release a new one, we kind of rebrand it. But yeah, it's a product that's been known as all those names for identity management. Enhanced that with a bunch of capabilities for self-service. Released ADFS for federation, single sign-on to SaaS apps, federation with apps, federation with on-premises software. All of that is needed out here as well. All of those capabilities is needed in the cloud. So when we go out and we build Azure AD, we need federation, we need identity management, we need a directory service, we need synchronization and provisioning. We need all that to enable this world out here on the left side or the right side for you guys to function as it does on-prem, right? And because we live in a hybrid world, we can't do it standalone. We have to enable you to take your investments that you do on-prem and move them out to the cloud. And the classic scenario is if you use a group on-prem to assign people to a printer or to a financial application, I should be able to use that same group, to give you access to a SaaS application, right? You don't have to change the way that you're doing identity management just because you're integrating with a cloud solution, okay? Azure AD is meant to be an extension of your on-prem AD, but it's an extension with features that are much bigger than what just AD has on-prem, okay? So I get that simple connection. It includes partners in collaboration with consumers as well. So that's the difference, right? There's really nothing like that in AD on-prem with external identities. We solve that as well within Azure AD. So I give you IAM solutions or single sign-on to any SaaS app. We know we're talking Azure AD or an Office 365, but that's just, for us, that's just one app. I don't care if it's Twitter or if it's Facebook or if it's Salesforce or, you know, Concur or whatever it is. I don't care. It's a single sign-on for my end users to get access to resources, just like they do on-prem, right? SAP, Oracle, IBM, CA, everybody integrates with AD on-prem, right? We need that same experience, same scenario in the cloud directory as well. I log into Azure AD, I get single sign-on, to any app that my IT staff, IT pros, have integrated with Azure AD. I get self-service capabilities if I need to, if I want to provide an easy way to do password reset, group management, request access to a new application, different self-service capabilities. Yeah, if you're doing FIM on-prem, these self-service capabilities are not as rich as you do on-prem, right? But we're building it. We're getting there. We're getting more and more capabilities. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to keep on doing FIM, or sorry, MIM nowadays, right? We're not disbanding in it because we're doing something in the cloud. We're a hybrid company. We'll continue to do hybrid investments. I love this slide in many, many ways. The most important number on this slide is the number down in the corner, which is 1.3 billion authentications every day on Azure AD. Of course, there's a lot of authentications. Every person in here that has an Office 365 account, in about 20 minutes, you get bored of my talk, you pick it up, and you start looking at your email. You just signed in to Azure AD, right? And then your email client is going to keep on continuing to do that because you're going to do refresh all the time because you're just bored, right? Or whatever it is. So we get 1.3 billion authentications every day. For us, that's cool, that's nice, you know, fun to say, but it's signals, it's data, it's knowledge about what logins look like so that we can protect your identities using machine learning-based algorithms that understand what an attack looks like. What is this new pattern of attacks and patterns of access? Why are we seeing that? Oh, that's a malicious attack. Let's start blocking it. Let's tell our customers about it so that they know. 1.3 billion is signals. It's scale and proof point that we're great and all that, but it's signals. If you take away that little dot between the 1 and the 3, then you get the other signals that we also get, which is from the MSA accounts, roughly 10 billion offs every day, that we also feed into that system to protect your identities. So if anyone asks me, what's the biggest value that I get out of Azure AD and Azure AD Premium if I'm using Office 365? It's protection. It's identity protection. Whatever I'm doing, I'm protecting your identities. Oh, the 10 million user accounts, yeah, that's cool, because we got 10 million Azure AD directories. And of course, a lot of those are Office 365. About 33,000 or so are the premium EMS or Azure AD premium accounts that are in there. About 33,000 customers have done that. But 10 million directories is pretty cool. St. Luke's is an organization that has delivers health systems or health to is a healthcare provider. They're building out a solution to get access to give access to their clinicians and their doctors and their staff to Office 365, to clinical systems internally, Epic being one of them. And they're doing that together with EMS. They're doing that because they saw the benefit of using EMS as a tool to increase the security of their already present Office 365 and their integration with on-prem apps all the way through. So they can now access resources from different devices, from different locations, and IT and security feel sort of confident and feel sort of okay with it, right? In the past, we're like, do I really want to go to the cloud? Do I really want to do it? But with EMS, they get that confidence. They get the security controls. They get the increased manageability of Office 365 on those services around it. A lot of what they're doing is a measure of what I'm going to talk about the rest of the talk, basically. If you read their case study, it's a good section about what customers get out of it right out of the way. Okay, must know. Yeah. There's one account type that's just for cloud-managed users, which is for small companies that don't have any connection to your on-prem world. If you look at the number of user accounts in Azure AD today and the Office 365 tenants, this is actually the majority of users. Because Office 365 is mostly, when it comes to number of tenants, it is about small customers. Okay, so cloud-managed users is a scenario where everything is stored in the cloud. There is no connection to the on-prem world. These customers might have an on-prem AD, but they just manage these completely separate. Okay, everything is done in the cloud. There's no synchronization. It's just a user account, password, credentials. Everything is stored in the cloud. Okay, they still get features such as password reset, but they get it for their username in the cloud. The managed accounts, or sorry, the connected synchronized account types is basically two types. They can either be password hash synchronized. I put my connect server on-prem, and I synchronize my users to the cloud. And when I do, I take the password, I hash and I salt it, and I hash and I salt it, and put a pepper on it as well, and send it out to the cloud. Right? I actually publish my, put my hash of my password into the cloud, and that hash is used to authenticate the user in the cloud. So the authentication happens in Azure AD. That hash and all that can't be reused on-prem and all that stuff. But there are technical details and architectures to see how we do the hash and all that. But this method is the way that most customers, new customers, are deploying today. Because it's simple. I put the connect service server in place, I turn it on, I do the sync, and I'm done. Okay? I get password reset to the on-prem AD. I get password reset capabilities. If you do have, that's a premium feature, but I'll talk about that later. Okay? Federated, I take my domain, and I federate it out to an STS, a token service somewhere that does the authentication on behalf of Azure AD. Usually that is ADFS sitting on-prem. I do the authentication to AD on-prem. So the federated model is the second biggest authentication model in this world. ADFS is far bigger than anything else on this slide, and I'll show you some other numbers in a minute. The biggest misconception, and I want you to be super clear about this, when I do ADFS, my credentials are always on-prem. I can still do self-service password reset of my username, of my user on-premises. Password hash sync has nothing to do with password resets, okay? Say that together? No, I'm kidding. I can do that. So that's a very, very common misconception. Can't do password reset because I'm not hashing, I'm not synchronizing my passwords. When you turn on password reset for on-prem AD, you never put your password in the cloud. It always sets it to on-prem. If you have turned on hash sync, it will sync that new password out to the cloud. It never sets it there and writes it back. It writes it to on-prem AD. Always, always, always. So the password hash sync, the first one in here, the first setup, the end user experience is pretty okay. Okay, today I sign into my desktop, I go to office, and I get prompted probably with a new signer. I say probably because it depends on if you have a token or not, and if it's still alive and all that. But new PC, everything fresh, you will get two sign-ons. You log into your PC, you access Azure AD, and you will get prompted for a new authentication because you need a token to get access to Azure AD. Okay? So that's the downside of password hash sync from the end user side. You have a little asterisk up there. Yes, we are deploying and we are releasing something which we call sort of a desktop SSO scenario where I will be able to do single sign-on from a domain join PC when my PC is connected to a network where I can see my domain controller. That just gives me single sign-on from on-prem and to my Azure AD properties. I will never see that extra login. That gives me exactly the same scenario as I get with ADFS for SSO end-to-end. Okay, it's a preview. We'll get more discussions on that one afterwards, but it's later. It's a preview that's out there. Anything else? No. Federation requires two machines or two infrastructures on-prem. It requires the connect server, and it requires the federation servers. Okay? And user experience for the domain join PCs on-prem, just get single sign-on. You just get access to it. The benefits of Azure AD is that I can control, I have conditional access policies in ADFS, that I can control who give where, from what network, and what type of devices, and all that, that I can give access to Azure AD. But it's not the only way to do it. OK? Okay, conditional access is growing outside of just being able to do it with ADFS. And I'll show you that in a minute. But this is one of the more popular ways to do setups. Okay. Another preview functionality that's coming is an alternative to the ADFS roles. I cannot do hash sync. I need to have my stuff on-prem. Okay? So we'll do something which we call pass-through auth or pass-through deauthentication. Basically, instead of ADFS, running an agent-based approach on-prem where I can funnel my authentication through an agent, very similar to a proxy agent that sits on-prem and does the authentication to AD. Plenty of more details in breakout 3107. But that's a preview capability as well, which will give you more options to do keep that authentication authorization on-prem. Okay? Much simpler than ADFS, basically. What are organizations like you doing? So I know this is not about the 10 million users, but in December, we posted this blog in January. So out of 8.5 million or 8.2 million directories at the time, we had 550 million users. Now you can do the math in the back end, how many users we've added, you know, in the last few months. But about 91% of all accounts are from large directories. It's kind of funny. Like, large directories is a small number of, no, small percentage, but it counts for 91% of all the user accounts in there. So we got a big load. I was going to say a bad word there, and I didn't. Really big load of small accounts, okay? But then a lot of user accounts that are in these large directories. Out of that, we have about 75% of users some kind of sync solution, okay, from Microsoft. 1% of these use some kind of homegrown solution, custom solution, and 3% are using some other third-party cloud solution to do synchronization. We onboard about 2,000 new directories every week with Azure AD Connect. So this number today is way bigger on Azure AD Connect than anything before. Just in the first 6 months, we have 24,000 directories signed up with Azure AD Connect. Now it's about 2,000 every week that are migrating from Direct Sync over to Azure AD Connect or new deployments of Azure AD Connect. What about authentication? So authentication, about 43% is cloud only. Okay? That's cloud only. That's the cloud only. Nothing on-prem, nothing happens, right? But out of the bigger accounts, 36% is doing ADFS. Okay? 17 or 20% or so is the password hash sync. So this kind of helps you. Why am I showing these numbers and what it is? I'm trying to help you guys decide what are other people doing. One of the most common questions that I get when I talk to customers, which is my daily job in the PM team, is just to talk to customers, is what are other people doing? Why should I do password hashing? Because everybody else is starting to do it, right? It's just nobody else, everybody else has understood that it is a secure way to do it, and it's nobody wants to be first. If you do this, you're not first. Put it this way. Under 1% of our authentications happen with a third-party cloud IDaaS solution. To put all the other cloud IDaaS vendors into one bucket, it's less than 1% of our authentications. Way less than 1%. Okay, a couple of QA, our FAQs around identity. I want to put them in there just because they're FAQs. Should be basics. Do we need more than one Azure AD? I have more than one AD on-premises. No, you do not. Okay, multiple forests, multiple ADs on-prem can go to one Azure AD in the cloud. There's one tenant of the cloud with multiple forests, multiple ADs on-premises. We highly recommend to not have multiple tenants in the same organization. Just think about it. We designed Azure AD to be isolated. To do multiple means they're two companies. There is no way to do a trust between two forests or trust between two tenants like you do on-prem. We built it so it's secure across tenants. So that's not easy. I do have my phone on because I'm going to do a demo later on, so you'll hear it peep now and then. Can multiple domain names in the same office if you have an Azure AD? So basically, can I have, in my world, Brecken.com, Brecken.com, Brecken.demo.com, Brecken.net, and you know, all the different domain names that I own in one Azure AD. Yes, you can have hundreds and hundreds of domain names in the same tenant, because those are just login IDs that your users are logging in with. So one company got an EU address, a .com address, an SG address, and a UK.local, or whatever it is, not UK to co.uk address, and so on. You can have all of those in the same tenant. Should be basic. Okay? Can I have a mix of cloud-only accounts and on-premises? Absolutely. A bunch of our customers are running cloud-only for what we call the kiosk users, the outside workers or the office, the factory, the staff on the ground at retail stores and others really don't need any IT access. They need access to email. They might need access to a SaaS service or two. Super popular with ServiceNow, for example. Right? They just need an AD account in cloud, and then they get ServiceNow access, or Workday, or Office 365, and so on. Google Apps, why not? Works there too. Okay? Can I use other tools in Azure AD Connect to synchronize? Yes. Any tool that can call Graph API or a PowerShell script can do that. But there are capabilities that we can deliver with Azure AD Connect. Azure AD Connect talks service to service. Exchange talks to Exchange on-prem. SharePoint and SharePoint. Skype and Skype. There's a bunch of capabilities that we use, that our services are using inside of our Azure AD Connect that is not available either in the Graph API or in the PowerShell API. We cannot make them available either, because those services are updating all the time, and we're optimizing that traffic and that protocol the way that we do it all the time. There's no way to get that publicly available or allow it through PowerShell and Graph. That's my promise. Okay, let's look at why we do Azure AD. What's in it? So this is like the overall, like the sales marketing slide on better together story and all that. What I put in green is what I kind of put in my session. A lot of other sessions here are talking about Intune, information protection, the security topics, and all that. But on the information or the identity side, the green stuff up here, I have my basic identity management, right? When I buy Office 365, I get Azure AD. You get a better version of Azure AD than if you get what's called Azure AD free. And I'll show you in the end, there is a slide exactly which checkbox is in which version and all that, right? So I get single sign-on to Office. I get MFA for Office 365. So you can give your users access to Office 365 with MFA, but you can't use that MFA to access Twitter, right? You can't secure anything else outside of Office with what's included in Azure AD for Office. That's a hint, right? Azure AD for Office. It's not for Salesforce or for something else. It's for Office, okay? Up here, otherwise, we add the other things on top, which are what we're gonna talk about through this talk. But I can't go through everything in this slide, right? All the other sessions on this, there's a great session just talking about conditional access with Intune and Microsoft or Azure AD together that you'll see in a slide later on as well. Kevin? Sorry, I can't walk that far away. In the cloud, we talk about four buckets, right? I'm gonna walk you through them really quick because these have real impact on Office 365, okay? The reason why we wanna do Azure AD and the step-up versions of Azure AD, step-up SKU, it's just a license. It's not a new version, new tenant, nothing else. It's just a new license that I sign for premium. I can now access all other SaaS apps on-prem, and in the cloud, all web apps on-prem and in the cloud with one same identity that I log into Office 365. I get integration into my Office launcher for launching applications. I can approve users to get access to cross-organization collaboration. You'll see more capabilities for B2B come out where I can invite users to access SharePoint, can manage it better in Azure AD than you can do within Office, for example. You'll get more management capabilities. So in Azure AD, we have something called Connect Health, which is basically a monitoring solution that looks at your hybrid connection workload, ADFS if you're running it, AD Connect, and your AD domain controllers today, and gives you an insight into what's going on in your connection between on-prem and cloud. And you see some of that as well. And the last one being all the different cloud-based controls, right? How many of you did Office or Exchange Online, and then you realize, wow, wait a second, there's like all these spam things that are coming in. The first thing the companies sort of did with cloud was they outsourced spam filtering, right? That's a very popular thing. The first thing I did was like, I don't want all the emails on my on-premises. I want to put it into a gateway that can filter out all that stuff. Then I can just take the legitimate emails on my inbox and my services on-premises. Think that this is a similar scenario, right? I don't want your logins to hit your on-prem world. I don't want your logins to hit your Azure AD tenant. Let us filter off all the little script kiddies and attacks and other things that happen and use the Microsoft protection in Azure AD as your in-depth protection in your tenant. And it's just out of the box. So give me a couple of things in here that are specific to Azure AD experience for end users, okay? So I don't have to call help desk as often. So this is scenarios where I have Azure AD turned on, Azure AD Premium turned on for my users, right? I can reset my password and unlock my user account on-prem. So I'm on, forgot my password, my device is now resetting or trying to log in. If you said account lockout, sorry. That account is probably going to lock out the first time you forgot your password or you try to get your password reset and you didn't have time to reset it. Password reset in Azure AD sets the username and password on-prem. And if you want, you can do the unlock as well. Or you can turn it on and just do unlock. There's different versions of this, okay? But Salesforce password reset is one. I can actually use Azure AD and the panel experience, that my end user experience, to request access to new applications. So IT can use this as a panel for requesting access to new cloud apps, right? Give marketing, the marketing department access to Twitter, but not everybody. But the folks that want it, they can go in and request access to it. You can put a simple workflow around it. Somebody has to approve before they get added and before they get access and so on, right? You can use it that way. I can add the application to my launcher. I love it. I use that daily. Office 365 Outlook Launcher, and I'll show you that in a demo. Quickly get connected, productivity with new PCs. This is Windows Azure, or Windows 10 and Azure AD joint. It's a superb example of I'm out running around, I dropped my PC and I need a new one, or something happened, I was given a new PC. With Azure AD join, I can get my PC up and running pretty quickly. I don't have all the controls and all the bells and whistles of group policy and everything I get. But Azure AD Join in Windows 10 gives me single sign-on to all my Office apps, gives me single sign-on through plumbing that we've done to on-premises apps as well. And you can combine both domain join on-prem and Azure AD Join as well. It really, really helps with getting going with a new device, a new PC. I can create and manage both 365 groups and security groups. So I can give the end users can get a self-service interface that can manage different types of user groups or different types of groups. You can delegate access to only certain people to manage groups. So I can allow them to do Office 365 groups, but I can also allow them to do security groups in Azure AD. And it gives me a little bit of flexibility. I can allow them to do things like dynamic membership on groups as well. Azure AD is fine with that. You'll see scenarios where you can have a user create a Office 365 group and get all the benefits of 365 group. I personally, I like it. I'm not an Office 365 guy, but I do like 365 groups with calendar and SharePoint site and a OneNote and all that. But I created it for my marketing department. Now I can go into Azure AD, and I can turn it on and say, I don't want this to be manually managed. I want this to be a dynamic group. So that whatever happens in HR, everybody that gets hired into the HR or marketing department will get membership automatically in that group. You don't have to have anybody go there and add it and update it and so on. I create the 365 group, then I change it to dynamic group within Azure AD. And that way I have an Office 365 group that's dynamic. For the admins, that's just on the right-hand side. So I put a little bit of tasks on the left side over here. for things that I'm doing with Office 365 only, right? The portal itself for managing users, it's a great way to manage users for a small organization. It's not very, it doesn't have a lot of features for managing large amount of users. I don't know anybody that does that from that UI. You get the PowerShell, you get the API. I can do both synchronized users and all that. If I move over to Azure AD Premium, you get the benefits of write back of the password, and coming up is other write backs such as security groups as well, or Office 365 groups to be able to write them back into on-prem as well. So you can use groups from cloud in the on-prem world. One of my favorites is, of course, SSO to other apps, because if you are doing Office 365, you're probably doing one or two other SaaS apps as well. So I get SSO to other apps. What else? Licensing, preview feature, that's not out yet. I'm talking about that a little bit this week in a few different sessions. There's a way to do licensing of actually assigning user Office 365 licenses to users using Azure AD. And I'll show that in a demo towards the end if you have time, or we do it at the booth later on. It's a really cool thing to do, and we want to get you out of using your PowerShell scripts or PowerShell scripts or manual work in the portal and other things that you're doing today. It's a really big thing that we need to enable. Talked about the Connect Health already. Let me just walk you through a couple of things in here. Let me do a demo. So I have a few more slides to talk through the scenarios in the demo, but let me demo a few things for you. Let me start with a complete end user-based scenario. And Jimmy down here is going to laugh a little bit because this is my family, basically, and all the demos. We got this email, don't use company names that we don't own and use wingtip toys and all that. And I'm like, nah, I don't like that. So we're going to log into Sophia. That's the girl on the right-hand side over there with the pink helmet or whatever it is. Oh, and I did show them this, so they're okay with it. So you saw the branding capability. Branding is part of Office 365. You get that with Office 365. You don't need premium for branding. One of the first thing we did. So logged in, single sign-on right away. I get to my inbox, of course. I can log into my inbox and see my inbox. No MFA. One of the new features in Azure AD is that I can now turn on selective MFA or selective additional security on separate Office 365 services. So right now, the system is calling my phone, and I can probably, you can hear it. I can do that with the phone call, the text message, or with just an app that runs on my laptop, on my phone. With the app, it's really easy. I get either, if I'm running a Touch ID enabled device, I get Touch ID, or I get just a toaster up that says approve or reject. I'm using the same Microsoft Authenticator client that I use for my Microsoft account and for my corporate accounts to do all that. So now I get single signed on into SharePoint after I have authenticated. So think about that scenario when I'm out traveling around, I can now set that you can't access SharePoint or another service unless you do MFA. Email is fine, but not SharePoint or not your OneDrive or whatever it might be that you want to do. I have a really active marketing team, by the way. You see that, right? I'm not the office guy, so I didn't do a bunch of demos in here. So here's my little launcher. So if I go in and view all my apps, I want to get a way so that I can add my Twitter right in here. So now, come on. Takes a little second. Show up. Okay, I'll go there and I'll show it afterwards. Pin it. I do single sign-on. This is an app that's not SAML-based single sign-on. So you'll see the app actually stuffing my username and password into it. And I created an app that's Twitter for marketing. I happen to be my Twitter account, but think about the Twitter account, marketing account. Sophia will never know the password for this account. She doesn't see the password. She doesn't manage the password. The IT staff did it. They could have clicked another button in there that says roll over the password. That way the IT staff doesn't even know the password, right? So they have to go through this UI to do the tweets and to look at the social pages and everything for this organization or for this company. They don't know the password. It resets the password on a given basis. Let me see if I get that little thing up here. Yay! Oh, come on. You gotta be kidding me. Ah, shoot. I'll do it back later. You gotta trust me, right? No, I know. I know, Control F, I was gonna use it. I'm gonna just go through and show you what I did to set all that up on my machine. This could be any sort of app that I have, but I did it on my Office SharePoint Online instance, right? This is available for any app that I have within Azure AD. I can do it on Twitter, I can do it on Facebook, I can do it on SharePoint, I can do it on Exchange, I can do it on Salesforce or whatever. What I do is I configure it up and I set it to be control access to this application. I enable access rules, so I apply it to all users except people in a specific group. So in this case, I added the end user support team. The funny thing is, my dad is in that team. I can tell he's nothing about end user support. But so end user support is excluded. They will be able to access this app without MFA. Okay, and you can have an app, for example, in there that could be the app for the guys and girls that forgot their phone, which is the MFA exception list, which you have to be on in case you're at a conference and you lost your phone or you lost your something to do your VPN or something. That's a group that you can put in here and say, OK, you can't do MFA unless you're in this group. OK? So that's just an easy way to do it. I did require multi-factor anytime from anywhere from any device on this app right now. But I can do it based on a network location. Or I can just say block it when I'm not on the network at all. And there are more features coming in this list as well for additional levels of controls. We're adding, in preview, we have a way where we also can do, in addition to the above, we can do device state and device management capabilities here as well. I can say you can only access this if you're on a domain joined PC, or if it's a registered PC, or if it's a managed device with an Intune that's healthy and marked as compliant, and so on. So I can really, really make my policy fit so that I can allow my people to access Office when they're on the road, without having to bring them on-premises with a VPN solution. Okay? Talked to a customer yesterday. You saw them there in the room about bandwidth control and the bandwidth that's needed for Office 365. Don't bring them online then. Don't bring them back. Keep them on the go. Whenever you're off the network, don't bring them back on to use your limited pipe out to the internet. Another thing that I want to show in here is I can also do applications that are internal. So I'm going to just do a quick one. I'm not going to finish the whole setup here. But think about a scenario where I actually have SharePoint on premises that I need to get access to. So I have the internal app. I think this gentleman on here was talking about how they need access to an on-prem SharePoint site for accessing timesheets or intranet or something like that. So I basically put an internal URL, and I'm really not that. I'll put it internal, just for. So I'm adding that SharePoint, and I'm using the Azure AD proxy now. So that's a proxy service. So it's an agent on-prem that talks to Azure AD. Now, I can configure that setup. This is where the trick comes in. How do I now authenticate the user to the app in the on-prem world? First of all, I can set a name on that app, what the name is, how they can access the application. I can go in and I can pre-authenticate the user, which is the default way. I want to be able to control access to the app, control authentication, set my policies even before they start to hit the internal apps. So I pre-authenticate the user, the device, and everything before I let them in. And then in here, I can then go in and I can talk about how I do that authentication method. basically work with integrated Windows authentication so that when I'm authenticated in the cloud, I just get straight through the app and I get single signed on. If the user has an account and it matches, I get single signed on straight in. Really gives me that power, not having to do VPN, not having to publish my SharePoint sites using some proxy service sitting in your DMZ. This is a proxy agent that talks to Azure AD. Remember, I said talks to outbound connection to Azure AD, and you do all the controls mechanisms in Azure AD all up. Ugliest, sorry, I'm switching to the new portal. We've launched the new portal into, we launched Azure AD into the new portal. Just all the capabilities are not lit up yet in that new experience. Some of the features that I showed you now are not there yet in the new portal. It will be there in a few months. But I wanted to show you a couple of things in here. And the first one is, how do I do that Office licensing? And I know I'm out of time, but you'll find 3 minutes. So licensing-wise, I'm going to take a group of users, happens to be a dynamic group based on an attribute that's on-premises, and it's actually a group called Sweden. So everybody that comes from Sweden has the locale set to Sweden in my AD on-prem is a member of this group. And now I can go in and I can do licenses. So I click licenses, I go in and I click on assign licenses. From here I can flip-flop what licenses are assigned to this group. And if I do assign up here, I can now go in and I can add other licenses that are available to me, such as an EMS license or Intune or other things that come in. All of them that have subcomponents, I will be able to switch subcomponents on and off as well. Okay? I hit submit on this one. Azure AD in the background will now take a little bit of time to push it over to Office 365 and license the user and get them going. We're working on getting that super quick as well. But this is a super exciting feature, and we are working hard to get it as soon as we get everything into the Azure portal to turn this on as well. You can't find this in your Azure AD portal today. There's no way to find it yet, but it will be there. You guys have not had enough problems with that, because that would have drawn a lot of applause. Right, okay, I got you. Okay, what the heck? Right. I got one more thing, then I'm done. Sorry. So in the Azure portal as well, we got our identity protection capabilities. And that's a talk that I really, really recommend that you go to, is the Azure AD identity protection talk. Because that will give you the insights and details into what we're doing with the billions and billions of logins, how we do that, and how we're risk scoring logins and activities that happen on your tenant. We basically want to risk score every event that happens and build up a risk level on a user in your properties. So if somebody logs in a lot and misses the login a lot or comes in from a new device, that risk on that user will gain in levels. And there's a UI in here that I can you can set and say, if they are risk high and low or medium, turn on MFA. If they're high, block them, reset their password, and so on. But in here, you'll see users at risk. You go to little Sophia again, poor Sophia. I can look at all the sign-ins for Sophia and all the successes and failures that are in here. So for failed attempts, I can now go in and I can troubleshoot where that came from, what it'll look like. So you can sort of understand if it's coming from a bunch of places where she's supposed to be or where she's not supposed to be. And this should technically be from school right now, but yeah, well, it was me, but okay. Summary of everything I showed you guys is detailed out, deep dive sessions on these red arrows. So yesterday there was a couple of sessions on the conditional access capabilities. That's the first one up there, the break 3225. That's an all-up conditional access session, everything on Intune and Azure AD. Earlier today, BRK 3019 is a team between Office 365 and Office and Azure AD did a session on managing Office 365 groups. My session tomorrow at 9, there's a all-up Azure AD talk that goes through all of the things that I did just a little short on. That goes through everything there, the dynamic groups, the licensing pieces, the password reset, all those things and IAM capabilities in there. 3139 is one of our MVPs. He's delivering a DMC app proxy session. And then last one, I want to get attention on the identity protection session on Breakout 3110. That's an identity protection session that you really don't want to miss. Whatever you're doing, don't just go there and listen. It's amazing stuff that we're doing in that world. Okay? With that, I'm going to close out and take questions. Oh, one more thing, since I put it up. Right here at the bottom, there's a link. Oh, come on. It says AKAMS/AAD POC playbook. It's a PDF document that we update regularly that has guidelines on how to enable all the things that I just talked about. How to start with AD Connect, fix AD on-prem, how to start with SSPR, how to start up MFA, how to do app access, how to do everything. Sort of as a POC, but you can choose to do it wherever you want. Okay? Thank you for the fast 45 minutes.